That's good. Let's get it started in here.
Mornings, they can help you feel down. I need info to help me get off the ground. So I listen to know what is going down. There's no need to be uninformed. That's why I listen to Justice and Drew. That's why I listen to Justice and Drew. They cover everything that I need to know. I finally have a good morning show. Justice and Drew, you gotta listen to Justice and Drew. Sam's Top 5 is the best way to kick off my day. I can't wait to hear what they say.
Then I look at you.
Can you dig it?
And the world's all right with me.
Can you dig it?
I think I should.
I think the way this has started this morning.
John almost had to do the show solo again.
Oh, no. You didn't tell me that part.
I was waiting for the mics to be on.
John's never alone. He's always got me.
That's true. That's true. Good morning, everybody. I think it's Wednesday. Usually I have it right in front of me, but I don't.
I'm just, you know what? Drew's back. I was going to be quiet.
Yeah, I'm coming in this morning. 12 turns into 394, and there's this little bend right around the time, right after it turns into 394, and I'm coming up. There's a car in front of me. I see its brake lights pop on.
Yeah.
So I hit my brakes, and then I see the car in front of me kind of hit something and spin out. So I hit my brakes harder because obviously I don't want to hit the thing that car hit or that car. But because the roads are icy, my brakes decide they're not going to do anything.
Oh, no.
So I am careening around this corner. Now I'm completely skidding. I've lost control of the vehicle. And there's a cop car. There was already an accident on the other side of the bend. Couldn't see it. There's two cop cars. There's a car that just hit something and the two cars that were involved in the accident. And I am making a beeline to broadsiding one of the police cars.
Oh, my gosh.
And my brakes aren't doing anything. My car's skidding. And fortunately, I got enough brake right before I was about to collide into it to kind of veer out of the way and get past all the accident. And no such luck for some of the people behind me. I saw at least one looked like it hit something in the rear view.
Did you see what it was that they were hitting?
Cars.
It was another car.
Other vehicles.
Well, no, you made it sound like it was just a thing in the road.
No. There was already an accident. There were two police cars there that were attending to the accident.
So they were coming around.
And then there
the
was
corner.
The car in front of me that hit one of them, something.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was scary.
Clearly, the problem is those police officers shouldn't have been there.
Right.
If the police officers wouldn't have been there, it would have been a problem. But I do want to let you know, Drew, that if anything had happened to you, I would have absolutely gone out and rioted on your behalf.
Oh, thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Just
that.
Let you know. I'm just
going to go set a Dollar Tree on fire.
Are there other cars or a riot against ICE? I'll drink nothing but warm beverages from here on out.
You're a good friend.
No ice for John.
So glad I survived that.
Yeah, as are we.
I'm really happy to be back here on the program. It was a nice vacation, nice few days off in Florida. They are serious about masks on planes. Do not mess around on planes with masks. I really hope I don't have to. I'll put it that way. Really don't hope I don't have to fly again until all this mask nonsense is done.
With how serious they are about masks on planes, I'm kind of like, I was kind of surprised when they will hand you a snack to anyone and let you actually like lower your mask for a moment to eat some crackers or whatever it is.
It's funny you bring it up because Logan wants to be a pilot, either, a commercial or delivery at some point in time, the big airliners. And he came down the other day and he loves to show me memes. And it was a meme of everybody standing at the gate, all socially distanced. And he's like, this is ridiculous. Everybody's 6 feet apart just so they can go and do this. And he shows me a packed plane.
Right.
But if you're wearing a mask, we're all safe, right?
Metal tube.
Yeah.
and sit elbow to elbow against each other. Now, on the flight down, I had dozed off on the flight down, so I missed what caused all the initial drama. But at one point, I wake up and I hear the pilot talking. I take my headphones off so I can hear what he's saying. And he's doing this whole thing like, so it appears that there's some people on this flight that don't really want to wear a mask.
Kidding me.
You know who you are, and I can just say that if you continue to insist on not wearing a mask, all I have to do is hit this button here, and we can land in Atlanta, or we can land in Charlotte, or we can land any number of places besides Tampa. And I'm sure everybody on this plane wants to go to Tampa. And not Atlanta. Real like passive aggressive, just kind of condescending. And it was apparently it was one person on the plane that didn't, you know, was I don't know any of the details. I didn't get involved with it. There was some hubbub in the back of the plane where a person wasn't wearing a mask and somebody else was very upset that that person wasn't wearing a mask and got the whole flight crew involved. The pilot's given these passive aggressive warnings over the loudspeaker. And when the plane landed, they wouldn't let us deplane until the cops showed up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I can't make sense of it anymore. I don't know what's going on. I mean, just add it to the list right now. Because, you know, nothing happened while you were gone, Drew.
No, I heard it was pretty quiet.
It's been a pretty dead news cycle. It's nice when
you know, you can take some vacation and not have to worry that like crazy, insane news is going to break while you're gone.
I'm not kidding you. I haven't told this story yet, but I completely checked out on Sunday. I was like, you know, you're out. You did the show Friday. I said, you're going to be out the next 2 days. I'm just going to, you know, just not pay attention to anything. When I got up on Monday morning and I turned, first opened the computer and the news popped up, my head just hit the counter. I just put my head down and went, oh, you, no. Why? Why? Hey, man, I'm glad you're back, though.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, and he must have stuck with him because he's still wearing a mask.
Back from Florida, the land of freedom.
Yeah, what was that like?
Great.
It must have been everybody so nice.
Everybody was so happy.
Yeah, I bet.
Everybody was having such a nice time. And everybody's a lot friendlier to each other down there, I've noticed, too.
Well, you can tell.
Yeah. There's a very different vibe down there. It felt a lot nicer. A lot more friendly. A lot more open.
We're all getting so used to being like masked up and separated and and being held apart from each other because of COVID restrictions. So I'm sure the fact that they are just a lot more free leads to happier people.
And, you know, people talk about the, you know, Florida being irresponsible and dropping the mask mandates. And it's true. I mean, you don't have the government entities aren't requiring you to wear masks, as you know, to the extent that they're doing it up here. But that doesn't stop, and we've talked about this with Texas and everything else. It doesn't stop, you know, private sector enterprises from still saying, hey, you know, you wear a mask when you come in here. And I mean, with the exception of being on the beach, which was where a lot of what was going on this past weekend happened, the exception being on the beach, but in grocery stores, gas stations, restaurants, things like that, I saw about the same amount of mask compliance down there with no mandates, no government crackdowns that I do up here. It's not stopping people from taking precautions that they feel are appropriate.
Well, not to mention the fact that the evidence continues to mount as the Texas rates when it comes to COVID are just continue to plummet, and they've been without their mask mandate now for quite a while, you know, while the states that locked down the heaviest, including ours and Michigan, continue to see the numbers numbers go up. It just doesn't make any sense anymore. On the show today at 8:35, MPPOA Brian Peters will be joining us, actually right around 8:20 this morning. Actually worked in Brooklyn Center, so he has a lot of information to provide about the leadership in Brooklyn Center and the mayor there and his time working in Brooklyn Center. Really looking forward to that conversation.
We were contacted by a resident in the area where the shooting happened, a gentleman by the name of William Hill is going to join us right around 7 o'clock this morning.
And, of course, at 8 o'clock, our continued coverage in the Derek Chauvin trial as the defense started presenting their case yesterday. We'll talk with Jason DeRusher from Channel 4 and Scott Johnson from Alpha News at Powerline at 8 o'clock this morning. Interesting opening day for the defense. We'll get into one of their first witnesses did not go so well. However, a couple of the subsequent witnesses that followed up actually did provide some rather interesting and compelling testimony that we'll ask both Scott Johnson and Jason DeRussia about.
In the meantime, though, Sam has compiled a top five stories to the best of my knowledge.
That's right.
Could be like a three. Could be maybe six. I don't know. We're still doing five.
Still five
with that number.
Yeah, we've stuck with five.
All right, we'll jump into that next.
You can win $1,000 on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 and FM 103.5.
Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website. Stock. That's stock.
Enter it at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
Hey, it's Drew here for my friends over at the Snoring and Sleep Apnea Dental Treatment Center. If you deal with sleep apnea, if you're a heavy snorer like me, and the idea of going to bed every night with a CPAP mask strapped to your face sounds really unappealing, the Snoring and Sleep Apnea Dental Treatment Center uses an oral appliance, it's a mouth guard, to help resolve your sleep apnea issues. And I've been using mine now for a couple of years, and it really does an amazing job of not only mitigating your snoring, but helping you get a full, restful night of sleep. Because what a lot of people don't realize about sleep apnea is it's more than just the heavy snoring. It constantly interrupts your sleep throughout the night because you're not getting the oxygen that you need. Your body goes into a bit of panic mode and wakes you up just enough to shift you around and clear those obstructions. And when that happens the next day, because you didn't get an uninterrupted night of sleep, you're going to wake up groggy. It can affect your mood. It can affect your health if you let it go unchecked for too long. And all that snoring, as we know, can definitely affect your spouse. The oral appliance from the Snoring and Sleep Apnea Dental Treatment Center, your snoring decreases immediately. But the best part is it gets better and better and better the more you use it, and you're going to notice a huge difference when you wake up in the morning. Learn more by going to their website, snoringandsleepapneamn.com, or call and set up an appointment today, 952-345-0290. Get that good and uninterrupted night of sleep that you need with the oral appliance from the Snoring and Sleep Apnea Dental Treatment Center.
Justice and Drew here on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Drew's back.
Almost did make it back. Had a harrowing drive in.
Apparently, we've got like the studio's working against us. And Friday, we had all kinds of issues. And then this morning,
yeah, I've lost my monitor, so I don't really know what's going on.
Drew looks lost over there.
I do. I have this monitor that's usually right to my immediate right in front of me, where it shows, you know, the commercials and the log and all. And I have all my buttons, the clapping and the countdowns.
It tells
and all
you
those
how
things.
Much, yeah, how much time you have left in a commercial break. Yeah.
Not to mention the clock.
Yeah, and the clock,
which is a really important part of this job, and it's all been taken away from me. The monitor has died.
So do Drew a favor and use the hashtag TCNT and just give him updates on the time.
Yeah, just tweet me the time, like every minute or so. Right. Just tweet me an update on the time.
Maybe that can be a part of the new hashtags for Rob Dorr.
There we go.
You know, so now you missed this yesterday. So Rob Dorr has provided such a wealth of information via Twitter throughout all of these different controversies that we've been dealing with, that we have two new. We've actually used it. We're using both now. So we have hashtag Dorr Facts, and we have hashtag Rob Truths.
For me, hashtag Dorr Facts is my favorite because I like that it's kind of multi-purpose. You can get your objective facts from Rob Dorr, but you also can learn about like actual doors, like doorknobs or
she's on an island on that one. She's on an island on that one.
Soundproof doors.
Something that she's just.
I was not on board with this at all.
I like that it's versatile. I like that,
but it's not.
It totally is.
You're not. It's spelled different.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. Yeah. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know how to spell Rob Dorr's name.
Yeah.
And you also know how to spell the word door.
There's insulated doors. There's wood
hashtag
doors.
Rob Truths.
Oh, my God.
Hobby doors, front doors, back
really,
doors.
You're really glad you came back now, huh?
I missed that.
All right, yeah, okay.
Missed that a lot.
I'm going to read Drew's mind and...
Number one.
After the state prosecution team put their case against former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin to rest yesterday, The defense took the opportunity to start calling their witnesses to the stand. Yesterday, as the trial continued, six people were called to the witness stand by the defense. The six called to testify included retired Minneapolis police officer Scott Creighton, a retired paramedic Michelle Mosing, the woman seen with George Floyd in the SUV, Shawanda Hill, Minneapolis Park Police officer Peter Chang, use of force expert Barry Broad, and Minneapolis Police Medical Coordinator Nicole McKenzie, who had previously testified for the state before having her session cut short. This information is from Channel 5.
Yeah, we had an interesting circumstance with Broad because this was another one of those where this happened on the prosecution side, where the defense was able to take advantage of one of the defense called witnesses and spent a lot more time with them cross-examining than the prosecution did, where something very similar happened with this use of force expert, Barry Broad. The prosecution did a really good job of sort of dismantling what he was laying forward. That being said, and we'll get into this a day more at 8 o'clock, both that Minneapolis Park officer who was nearby and heard the call and decided to voluntarily go and join in to help law enforcement, he had body camera footage, firsthand accounts of what was happening with George Floyd prior to being placed on the ground, and also the testimony from Shawanda Hill, who was in the SUV, but both really, really compelling yesterday.
And we'll spend more time on this, of course, coming up in the 7:55 segment. We've got Jason DeRusha from Channel 4, Scott Johnson from Powerline as well, so stick around for that.
Number 2.
Governor Walz is not considering new restrictions as he extends his emergency powers. We'll have more details on this when we come back from our break.
That's the phone number you want to use. You want to take part in the program at any time. Comment on anything going on in Sam's Top 5. You can also use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter as well.
Here on Justice and Drew, we will be talking with an individual who basically, well, they live in the house right where the incident took place with Dante Wright. Over the weekend. And so they're going to provide some interesting perspective coming up at 7 o'clock on their point of view of what happened, you know, being having it happen right there in front of their own home. And of course, we have our continued coverage of the Derek Chauvin trial coming up this morning at 8 o'clock. Right now, though, they got to get back into Sam's Top 5.
Number 2.
Governor Walz is not considering new restrictions as he extends his emergency powers again.
Then what's the point of the emergency powers?
Exactly.
He doesn't want to. He just can't quit them.
He's enjoying total control.
He's a socket wrench.
From the Star Tribune.
Pretty much.
Governor Tim Walz says while he is closely monitoring an increase in COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations in Minnesota, he doesn't anticipate, or at least he says he doesn't anticipate, tightening restrictions on businesses or social gatherings anytime soon. But the story says he's not quite ready to relinquish those emergency powers he's used to respond to the pandemic and to put those restrictions in place. Walz plans to extend those powers for another 30 days on today, citing the need for continued vigilance as the state races to vaccinate as many people as possible against more contagious variants of the virus.
And the study just came out showing, I mean, we've said this, but there was a study that came out, one of the most definitive ones, showing that this UK variant is not causing more deaths.
Nope.
It's not making anybody more sicker. And I want to add, and I know this has been used as a meme a lot, but the truth of the matter is, it does matter. It is relevant as the left continues to try to use language, right, to perpetuate their bogus narratives. We're just calling it the UK variant, and like nobody cares.
I thought that was racist.
Exactly.
I thought we weren't supposed to do that.
Apparently, it's okay to for the people living in the United Kingdom. It's nothing against them.
Has there been an increase in hate incidents against our British friends and neighbors?
I don't know.
With people running around blaming them for the variant?
I don't know if there's been accounts set up to donate to stop UK hate.
Right. I mean, somebody tell me the difference. Why is it okay to label a variant from the origin, from the region of origin with a UK variant, but calling it the China virus or the Wuhan virus, as it was being called early on, was apparently horrible and racist, even though a lot of people on the left were doing it until they decided, hey, we could use this against Trump.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, what's the difference?
And that's in, and the only
what's the difference between the UK variant and the Wuhan coronavirus?
Well, the only difference is Trump said China virus, and everybody didn't like it, and that's it.
Even though it came from China.
Doesn't matter, though.
Even though it came from Wuhan.
Yeah, hypocrisy and double standards don't matter anymore.
And we've traditionally labeled from the the viruses and diseases and sicknesses from the region that they came from. We've done that for a long time.
All those things.
Yeah, and we're doing it again with the UK.
And while in his emergency powers, it's all political. The more he hangs on to him, the more it benefits the DFL, the more conditioned we get to it. Talked about this earlier in the week. Like, I understand, and I'm glad that the governor moved swiftly to try to tamp down on any potential violence in the wake of the death of Dante Wright. That being said, we're getting conditioned to these curfews. Mm-hmm. We're becoming accustomed to it. We're being conditioned to the government and the governors having this type of unilateral power, and that is not a good thing.
I still have it yet to be explained to me, and I've asked this a number of times. Every time he extends his emergency powers, what can't he do? What does he need these for? What couldn't he do if the emergency powers expired? What can't the legislature get involved in? And nobody can explain that. And to the best of my knowledge, nobody's asked him directly.
Well, there was a lengthy piece that came out last week. We never had a chance to dive into it. And it's a bunch of gobbledygook anyways. But it was from the Star Tribune. Emergency powers strengthen Minnesota. Resolve differences with good faith negotiations, not Wisconsin-style court fights. The only argument they made in this was that, you know, the legislature should be working with walls, what they've been trying to do to end these emergency powers, which basically was just the Star Tribune's way of saying the Republicans need to go along with all of the things that the governor wanted them to go and latch onto in terms of legislation. So if they just did that, we'd be fine. But they do what you said in here. They talk about all the good that it did, but in no case in this story do they ever bother to stop and explain what you just said. Why couldn't those things have been done without those emergency powers? Right. Or could they have been done without? No, they never bothered. Just, he did all these great things without saying, yeah, they could have been done. He didn't need them to do these.
He didn't need emergency powers, and he didn't need to sideline the legislature the entire time to do those things.
Number three.
Demonstrators returned to the Brooklyn Center Police Department last night for a third night.
I could not have been more wrong. I did three different interviews yesterday, and I really, really had too much faith in humanity. I thought that things would calm down, and I thought that, you know, it would be things would settle. You know, I'm worried about the outcome of the Derek Chauvin trial, and then again this morning I went, well, unfortunately, I was wrong.
From Fox 9, after a rally outside the police department, organizers led a march to the FBI headquarters. As they marched back toward the the Brooklyn Center Police Department, the crowd just continued to grow, and the crowd remained peaceful before dark on Tuesday evening, with the majority of the crowd listening to the speakers. But according to State Patrol's Matt Langer, the event did devolve. At one point, protesters began shaking the fence surrounding the police station. Law enforcement told protesters over a loudspeaker that the assembly was unlawful, gave them 10 minutes to leave the area, and video did show police making arrests outside the police department just before 9 p.m. Protesters were seen lighting a fire in a strip mall parking lot.
Yeah, at that point, you have to stop calling them protesters.
Yeah.
Arsonists were seen lighting a fire in a strip mall. Criminals, arsonists, call them something. At that point, they're no longer protesters.
Yeah, this story just continues to call them protesters. Mm-hmm. They say reporters saw protesters throw bottles and fire fireworks.
Yeah, those are called terrorists.
According to Operation Safety Net, a multi-jurisdictional law enforcement effort, some sprayed mace at officers and threw bricks.
Yeah.
It was a mess.
It was a mess. And at that point, you're no longer a protester. You're a criminal, and you should be treated as such.
Well,
there has to be a definitive show that this type of behavior is no longer going to be tolerated. We've been tolerating it for too long. Protesting, fine. Peaceful protesting, fine. You start breaking laws, you start setting fires, you start throwing bricks, you're not a protester anymore. You're a criminal, and you should be treated accordingly.
Yeah, I don't know what the curfews are doing if we're not. I know some people are being arrested, but what good are these curfews if people are just allowed to go and be out there and break them? And we're entering into a continued dangerous precedent with our, especially with our local media, because now they've adopted this term of light looting. This is what we got on Monday.
I missed this.
Oh, yeah. So we had
the light looting.
Yeah. That's how they were describing it. We had callers that were like, we talked about it. The story is there was light looting in the wake of the, you know, of the details coming out in the shooting death of Dante Wright. And this was before we knew about the body cam footage and what had happened with the female officer allegedly or apparently grabbing the taser instead of her weapon. And somebody called up and they were like, I just drove through there. That's light looting? I mean, these stores are gutted. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now they have terminology that ends up fitting the narrative. It's just, it's light looting.
Well, yeah, they do have to perpetuate the narrative, right? And the narrative cannot be that you have a bunch of opportunistic a-holes that anytime you see something like this happen, think, oh, cool, free booze, and go hit up a liquor store and go loot a pharmacy.
Number four.
The Brooklyn Center officer that was involved in the Dante Wright shooting and the police chief of that police department have submitted their resignation. From Channel 5, yesterday, Brooklyn Center officer Kim Potter and police chief Tim Gannon have officially resigned from their positions. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension did identify Potter as the officer who shot and killed 20-year-old Dante Wright. A release from the Law Enforcement Labor Services, which reports itself as Minnesota's largest public safety labor union specializing in representing over 6,400 members throughout the state, stated that Potter had submitted her resignation letter to city staff. They did publish this letter. She submitted this to the mayor and to the police chief. She said, I am tendering my resignation from the Brooklyn Center Police Department effective immediately. I have loved every minute of being a police officer and serving this community to the best of my ability, but I believe it is in the best interest of the community, the department, and my fellow officers if I resign immediately. Sincerely, Officer Kim Potter. And during a news conference yesterday, Brooklyn Center Mayor Mike Elliott announced that the police chief had also submitted his resignation.
Yeah, this is going to be in disarray. And what I fear is that Brooklyn Center, the activists see an opportunity here in Brooklyn Center, you know, a smaller municipality. They see an opportunity here to sort of implement what they want. And that's going to be basically taking control over the police department. And you've got a mayor there that seems to be right in line with what the activist crowd wants. There's not a whole lot of resistance here. And now you're seeing, you know, the police chief step down. They want to fire the city manager because he said that, the officer is entitled to due process. What a horrible thing to say, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think you're going to see a purge of people that don't think the right way in Brooklyn Center, and they're going to be replaced with people who do. And to the people, residents and businesses in Brooklyn Center, I just say good luck.
Well, good luck. We've seen this, you know, and it's TV shows and movies. You have it's kind of a trope where you have something happens with inside of a government, you know, entity, and then you have the reporters, and one of the first questions the reporter asks, and it always comes off as ridiculous, is like, are you going to resign over this? You know, to which the person would be like, no, of course I'm not going to resign over this. This is always, it's always a trope. Well, now we've reached that level where, no, this is going to happen now. I don't know the circumstances as to why the police chief resigned, but if he was being pushed to, that's ridiculous. That this
right.
is not,
right.
this. I mean, again, due process should be playing out here. We talked about yesterday. You're right. The city manager did get fired for saying he wanted due process, to which nobody's been able to answer the question yet of, okay, does that mean that Kim Potter is not getting due process in this?
I know.
What is the expectation then if he just simply called for the investigation like always happens, like that's the way justice plays out, then what's the alternative? Then.
The alternative is mob rule. The alternative is mob justice.
In this same press conference, the same news conference that the Brooklyn Center mayor did, he also said that, or he called for Governor Tim Walz to reassign the case involving Dante Wright's death to Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison.
Of course he did.
Ellison's office released a statement on this and said Attorney General Keith Ellison has all the confidence in the Washington County attorney Orput's review with this case. And the Washington County Attorney's Office said the charges against former Brooklyn Center police officer that we've been discussing, Kim Potter, could be coming soon as today, in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, the attorney's office said that after extensive meetings with the BCA, they believe they have enough information to charge Potter after she shot and killed Dante Wright.
It's going to be interesting to see what those charges are. Yeah. I don't know what to expect. I do not know how this is going to play out. I'd be reticent to make any sort of speculation or prediction on what it's going to be. You know, Keith Ellison is going to be involved in these charging decisions. He's already been there at Brooklyn Center, breaking curfew, I might add, and talking about like details in the Chauvin case, which he's prosecuting. And that to me seems like, I don't know, a bad idea. But what do I know?
Well, there was a story that, time permitting, we can get to next hour because we had it yesterday. I didn't get a chance to. But the Pioneer Press put out a lengthy piece talking about how does police mix up stun guns and handguns, and they actually go and lay out a number of instances where this has happened before. And the results, you know, are varied, and they're quite surprising. There's been instances where there has been no criminal charges based off of very similar circumstances. Now, in that particular case, someone didn't die, and they were shot. They were given like $900,000 in money over the case. But we'll get into that later on. And you're right, Drew. I'm with you. I'm very interested and curious to see exactly what these charges end up being. We have one more item to get to in a Sam's Top 5. Also, we do have a special guest joining us, a Brooklyn Center resident who lives right in front of the stop where Dante Wright lost his life. We will be speaking with them and wrap up Sam's Top 5 next on Twin Cities News Talk.